This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Lisa Brady. On this Easter Sunday, many churches will be full, but that's less and less likely in general, as the non-religious segment of the population keeps growing, including what author Stephen Bullivant calls nonverts, those who used to be religiously affiliated and now are not. Nearly one in three Americans say none when prompted about their religion in an Associated Press NORC Center survey. And a new Gallup poll finds only 3 in 10 U.S. adults attend religious services regularly, down from 42% 20 years ago. The trend is longer than that. The number of Americans identifying as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, jumping from 5% in 1972 to 30%. We spoke with theologian and Fox News contributor Jonathan Morris about the religious decline, what it says about faith, and how houses of worship may be offering what many people are missing in difficult times. We made some edits for time and thought you might want to hear the whole thing. Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Fox News Rundown weekday podcast. Now here's Jonathan Morris on the Fox News Rundown Extra. So there has been a decline for quite a while now in the number of Americans attending church. Have the reasons been changing, or is it the same things still driving this move away from organized religion?
It's so interesting that in the last 20 years, we have gone from about 44-45% of Americans saying we attend church services regularly, meaning either every week or most weeks, down from 44-45% down to 33%. That's in 20 years. Maybe that doesn't sound like a massive change, but since it's been coming down every year, and there's no reason to believe it's not going to continue to go down, just imagine 20 years from now, it going down another 10, 15, 20%. That is a change in the face of spiritual and religious demographics in the United States like never witnessed before.
Does this mean that we're a less faithful society? Is that what's happening here?
Gosh, you know, so faithful, meaning filled with faith, right? So in other words, does church attendance, like, is that the same as do I believe? I would say it's not a perfect equivalent, but yes, it definitely means when I am filled with faith, I'm more likely to attend church services, right? Except in maybe some circumstances. But I would say, yes, we are losing faith. We are losing faith. And what does that mean? It means we're losing faith in the divine, in the supernatural, in what happens after life, and also the consequences for our behaviors here and now.
What's driving that? Are there multiple reasons for that?
Great question. I would say, number one, there were reasons given to people to attend church and to believe in the past that were based on fear. And that's not a healthy, long-lasting explanation. So in other words, if you don't go to church, you're going to hell. That was very prevalent in the Catholic Church. It still is, like, I would say, from an objective, like, theological teaching. If you don't go to church, it's a moral sin on a Sunday. That people don't believe that, right? Is God going to condemn me to hell if I don't go to church on a Sunday because of my own laziness or whatever it is? Most people don't believe that. So if you give that reasoning, it's not going to really land in people, right? In people's mind and their own consciousness. So that's one thing. I think bad reasoning Secondly, inspiration from leadership. If I'm not going to church based on fear, then why would I be going? There should be inspiration there. There should be say, come, because we're going to help you make you and your family better off. You're going to have a better life because of this. You're going to be more engaged in things that matter. You will have purpose. You will have mission. And certainly purpose and mission are something that are lacking deeply in society today. Let me give you the third reason. I don't think we make it as a religious community very easy for people to go to church. Let me give you a very personal example. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old. I used to be a Catholic priest, as you know, and a lot of our audience knows. For many years, I was a Catholic priest. I don't think I did a good enough job welcoming families to say, come and be here and receive spirituality inspiration while we take care of your kids and give them some faith as well. A lot of evangelical churches do this better. Sunday school, childcare, etc. But as a whole, as a community in the United States of America, I think we could make church a better experience for young families.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
I want to seize on the word community for a moment as well, because I was reading an article in The Atlantic that takes a deeper dive on this, and it referenced a book called The Great Dechurching. And it argues basically that more than anything else, we've let life and work get in the way. And there's a lot of emphasis on individual success rather than community. That doesn't seem like a shift that's easily reversible, though. Is it possible to start changing that?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't think those are concepts that like say, oh, we really should be in community now. I think I start going to church. No, I don't think so. It's more like I need purpose. I need mission in my life. And maybe community can give that. But here's another aspect to this. In countries, in societies, in regions, even in continents where there's great suffering rather than prosperity, church attendance and religiosity, spirituality are much higher, right? So in parts of the world where there is deep suffering, people run to find purpose and mission and meaning in life through religion. In the United States of America, we, even with all of our problems, there's great prosperity, relatively speaking. And when there's great prosperity, we forget that we are not self-reliant. And I can tell you why we're not self-reliant, because there are no U-Hauls following hearses to the gravesite. Nobody can bring anything with them. We cannot take what we are building up on this earth in our families and our lives to the grave. It doesn't work. We know that. But when there's prosperity in our lives, we can sometimes forget and think that, hey, I'm actually self-sufficient. I don't need anything, including from God.
Are you surprised that the pandemic, didn't send more people toward faith instead of away from it? I mean, obviously, shocking world events like that can really shake someone's faith. Many houses of worship were streaming services during lockdown. What do you say to people who've had those kinds of feelings and doubts creep in?
Yeah, so all the data shows that the pandemic or endemic of COVID-19 did drive people to make life-changing decisions. Actually, marriage was up, long-term commitments were up. I'll give you an example. I got married during the pandemic, and that all of that like change in our daily life activities made us rethink some of the things that we cared about most deeply. But I would say the church, and I say the church, the Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, the Protestant churches, mainline Protestant churches, really lost out on an unbelievable opportunity to bring people back to God and to religion, because many of them followed what I would say blindly, government information and mandates to shut down. And there should have been a much stronger, I would say, creative way to say, we're going to still gather and we're going to worship God. And we're going to do that in person, also online for those who were at great risk. But no, we're not going to shut the churches, right? Think of a, you know, there's so many large churches. You could have had social distancing, which who knows if that actually made a difference in the end anyway. But there could have been social distancing. We didn't have to shut the churches down. When people most needed faith, the church, I would say as a whole, I think failed us, or we failed the people in many ways. And I think it's something that is very present on the minds of church leadership now, and I think would never happen again.
What about apps like Hallo, and there are many others? Do you consider them helpful for faith and for religion, or negative in any way?
Oh, 1,000% helpful. You know, the church is very good at criticizing itself and others for imperfect ways of spreading the gospel. Is an app a perfect way of spreading the gospel and bringing people? No, it's not perfect. Nothing is perfect. No pastor is perfect. No, no book is perfect. We need to encourage each other, spread the gospel and the good news in any way possible. And apps like Hallo and others, if they're bringing people closer to God, or just do it. You know, during the pandemic, I would do a Facebook Live every day because I had nothing else to do, right? In which I would talk about the daily gospel. This is after having left, you know, after having left the priesthood, I was now, I had requested of Pope Francis dismissal, or what they call laicization, from the priesthood. And I was looking to start a new life and hopefully having a family and children someday. And that happened, thank God. But I did a Facebook Live in which we just went over the daily gospel, and thousands, tens of thousands of people would listen every day. And people still write to me today and say, that got me through the pandemic. It was a very imperfect, thing that I was doing, very imperfect. But all of us doing what we can, including in our families, I feel like I'm a very imperfect father and husband, and very imperfect, I would say, instrument of spirituality to my family, right? Because it's not so easy. But we do what we can. And I think God takes care of the rest.
There's a movement of nonverts, people turning to secular spiritualism, away from organized religion, away from belief in God, per se. Does this just give a name to something that's already been happening? Or do you think it signals a larger shift?
Oh, my gosh, that's so interesting, because secular spiritualism, I think, are the words that you use, which I think is really interesting, because that's some of the language that is used. And so I'm glad you bring it up in that way. But secular spiritualism, so secularization has to do with taking God out of our lives. And spiritualism, or spirituality, has to do with the fact that we actually connect with or believe in something beyond the here and now, the physical. Right? Spiritual, something that is divine, something that is bigger than ourselves. So I think all of that is language that is certainly used today, and therefore I'm glad you bring it up, but it doesn't really make sense. The fact that I'm not religious doesn't take away the fact that I'm spiritual. It just means that I'm not really practicing my spirituality. Religion is just a more organized way of expressing belief in the supernatural. Right. So sometimes it's going to church, sometimes it's small groups, sometimes that's all, like, those are religious identification with the fact that people are searching for something beyond themselves. And that's spirituality. So people who say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, mostly means, without judging, right? But it usually means I recognize there's something greater than me, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Not always. But religion is just a codified or community organized way of expressing the fact that there's got to be something bigger than myself. And I believe that. Right. So a lot of that language will come today and be gone tomorrow, because as human beings, we actually naturally organize ourselves. And that's religion. Now, sometimes religion rightly gets a bad name because there's bad organizers of that spirituality. There are bad leaders and they sometimes do bad things. But to say, oh, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, usually means I recognize that there's something greater than myself, but I'm not going to do much about it.
For the faithful and the religious, it's an important time of year, Easter, Passover, Ramadan. Do you have a message that you hope will reach people?
You know, as I'm a Catholic Christian, and I don't have to make up a message, and I'm grateful for that, because who am I to make up a message, right? In Christianity, this is Catholics, Anglicans, mainline Protestants, all believe that Easter is a celebration of the fact that God became man, lived everything that we've lived, experienced all the evil and suffering that we have lived, except for sin itself by Jesus, right? And then overcame that by taking on the suffering that would be due to us because of our own bad decisions, and died on the cross, and then rose again and overcame the darkness that overcame the earth. So the message to me is that in any situation that you're living right now, if you believe in Christian theology, and there's certainly elements within Islam and Judaism that mirror this, or at least play into this, what we believe as Christians is that no matter what situation you're in, God's love and mercy are so much bigger than that, and power are so much bigger than whatever we're suffering. And he will, if we allow him, if we allow God to enter into our lives, he will make good out of the bad that we are suffering, even death and suffering. And that's why he died and rose again.
Theologian and Fox News contributor Jonathan Morris, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Happy Easter.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.